The Wintrust Business Lunch. There's Terry Savage joining us for the first half hour today. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Interesting times we live in, huh?
Why do you say that? Terry is the money lady. You'll find her at terrysavage.com. So give me what you want me to know about tariffs today.
Well, if you go to terrysavage.com or if you got my newsletter, free newsletter over the weekend, I just started out, I wrote on Friday, actually, before the tariffs were enacted, something called Tariffs 101. And the point I was trying to make is that tariffs have always, and every time they've been introduced, had an opposite and sometimes equal and oftentimes worse reaction on the country that initiates them. Quick story. Back in 2016-17, remember the first Trump administration, they put tariffs on washing machines and dryers. The prices went up, and also domestic manufacturers raised their prices because, of course, who pays? The people that buy the products. I mean, you may collect the tariff at the border, but inevitably, the person who's selling the product either has to have a squeeze of profits and lay off workers or pass the costs along. But the retaliation, John, is what was so bad in 2017. Back then, China put a 25% tariff on soybeans. Now, we don't think about soybeans. Nobody even knows what they look like. But Illinois is the largest soybean producing state in America. Our exports to China plummeted 78%.
Stay there, Terry. I'm not hearing you right now. Our exports of soybeans plummeted 78% or something pert near that. Terry, you're telling us at least one example about what happened when tariffs were put on.
Yeah, the tech gurus got in our way, gremlins, I should say. But I was just pointing out in 2016, when the president, which was Trump's first administration, put on those tariffs on washers and dryers. First of all, the price of washers and dryers went up. Consumers ultimately pay. And domestic manufacturers raised their prices, too. Why not? They could do it. And also, China then retaliated with a 25% tariff on soybeans, Illinois being, by the way, the largest soybean-growing state in America. It hit our farmers so bad, exports plummeted 87%, that the Trump administration then had to spend $28 billion paying back the soybean farmers or all the farmers whose exports were lost. So it's not the initial tariff, which ultimately, by the way, gets paid by the consumer. It's the retaliation. And I know it's not economic, this one, because this all turned out to be political. So that's outside my territory. This was about border guards and fentanyl and crossings. And you can argue about whether Canada and Mexico were already doing that stuff. That's not the point. The very fact that we would consider creating such uproar in our trade markets, we have such interdependence between Canada and the U.S. They're our friends. So for this to happen has got the markets not crashing, not flailing around. This is a much bigger picture thing about prosperity in the long run, or whether we will have a lot of unemployment here and higher prices if we disrupt trade across the borders with our best friends. Forget our potential enemies like China.
Yeah, that's interesting. The markets really took a precipitous fall for half a day, and then it was announced that these tariffs will be put on hold for 30 days and maybe indefinitely, since it appears as though we've reached some sort of accommodation. And like you say, it may be an accommodation that was already baked in. So then you do wonder what the point of all of this was. But unlike other tariffs, this wasn't about trade. It really was about policy.
Yeah. Okay, but if you want to know where the world, first of all, the dollar remains strong. We are the strongest place. But if you want to take a look at the level of fear in the world, you have to look at the gold market. And we just reported gold, $28.93. New all-time highs, where money rushes when it's really concerned, central bank money. So I think the level of concern about international trade and the norms by which we have done things in the past, maybe stuff needs to be changed. But the fact is the financial markets are showing a little bit of concern there. Not in our treasury rates. Our 10-year treasury actually yield is a little lower. The economy remains strong. We saw a jobs report. But the fact that you'd be willing to do these kinds of things for either political or economic reasons has got some of the global markets very concerned.
Other questions for Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Normally you call when we take a commercial break. Terry's with us for about 10 more minutes. Don't wait for the break. I'm not going to take one. If you've got a question, you can call or text right now, 312-981-7200. Hey, John, if Terry Savage is on with you today, can you ask how concerned we should be regarding Elon Musk's security breach, and how we can make sure that our information isn't compromised? I don't know if that's your bailiwick, but you may have something to say about that.
I'm glad you asked that, because I have received, you know, if you go to terrysavage.com, I get questions on my blog, and it's like a pulse of what people are thinking about. You know, some years it's debt and credit, and sometimes it's, you know, how do I get rich? And I've gotten in the last few days quite a few questions about this. Number one, a number of people have questioned Treasury Direct, because there have been all these stories, you've read them and everybody's kind of heard of them, about Elon and his posse going into the, you know, firing the head of Treasury disbursements and getting involved in the side, getting information on the technology and so forth. Look, your Treasury Direct account is safe. It is not going to be compromised. This is not just your Treasury bills. This is how the United States funds its $32 trillion national debt. So do not be concerned about the security, and by all means, don't take the money out. People are saying, should I have cash? No, that's not safe. There's a lot of concern in general, though, about democratic processes and access.
Here's a different question for you. Ready, Terry?
Yep.
Hey, John, I'm hearing predictions of the Dow reaching 50,000 this year by Dr. Bob Frelick. What are your thoughts on this type of growth with the recent tariff news, says 630?
Well, I have not called Dr. Bob because I make it a point not to call him with every little fluctuation of the market, but I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that he hasn't changed his mind. And as I said, we just got good economic news about jobs. The likelihood is that the tax cuts will be extended. All of this, whatever you may think about everything else that's going on, which is a separate subject, all of this is not bad news for business. And now the tariffs seem to have been more of a political manipulation and threat than an economic thing. So I'm sure Dr. Bob will be letting his Dow 50,000 stand. And I'm also sure that he would call me up if he ever wanted to say, Terry, I have to retract that for this reason. So we would know first.
Roy has a question for Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Roy. What can we do for you?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, John and Terry. Terry, also, I love your talks with us. They are so informative.
Well, thank you.
But I wanted to ask, with the debt that the nation has and that individuals have as a whole, is there ever the risk of hyperinflation happening in the United States?
Inflation is always and ever a monetary phenomenon. And we have a Federal Reserve, which has been pretty determined not to let inflation get started, to bring it down to the 2% level. So if there were some change in the Federal Reserve or the control of the Federal Reserve, but you forget the United States is the global currency for all transactions, pretty much, in oil, energy around the world. And so as long as we have at least the ability to pay our debt, pay the interest on our debt, and the Fed isn't printing any new money to make that happen, you don't have to worry about inflation. And Jay Powell has made it pretty clear they are not going to accommodate inflation by printing money.
Roy, thanks for the call. Can John, you ask Terry why I got a 1099 from a rollover 401k?
Oh, did you do a direct rollover to an IRA? You need to contact your custodian. You should not have received a 1099 unless it says it's a 1099 that is part of the rollover process. So it depends on what that 1099 says. But I would look into it right away. You don't want that to, here's the thing. If you took the money out of your 401k and kept it for less than 60 days and then rolled it over to an IRA, then you would receive a 1099 saying a withdrawal taxable. And it'd be up to you to prove that you did the rollover, you created a new IRA. So it's really important when you do a rollover, you do it directly. If you go to terrysavage.com, if you're leaving your job, you want to do a rollover, put in columns, the search box, put rollover now, and there's a manual on how to roll over your 401k. But I'd look into that.
By the way, that makes me think, though, about the other forms and things people are getting this time of year. They're getting W-2s and statements like 1099s. And this year, you will have to account for your gig economy if you're using Zelle or Venmo and it's over a certain threshold, then you're going to have to account for that, right, Terry?
Yeah, this year it's dropped down to $5,000. So if you sold something online on eBay or whatever it is, you're going to have to come up with a cost basis for it. One other form, while you bring that up, John, if you bought Treasury bills and they matured in the year 2024, Treasury Direct does not send you a 1099, but they do put one in your messages box. So go into your account. They're up there now. If you bought a T-bill for 6 months and you bought it in October, even though you got the interest up front, it was left in your bank account. It doesn't mature until March of 2025. There's no 1099. But those that matured in 2024, go to your Treasury Direct account, check your messages. There's a link right in there to your 1099. You have to print it out and send it in with your tax return.
This listener says, Terry, what do you think of gold or silver as an investment right now? And what percentage of my net worth would you put in with that?
I've never been much of a silver investor. I've always focused on gold. I've owned gold. I remember in 2008 when the financial crisis and gold went from 1,100 an ounce down to 8 something. I bought more gold. That's the last time I bought gold, but I've been buying it for years. It's a small portion of your portfolio. It's not going to save you from the end of the world scenario, because at that point you need, you know, bread and toilet paper. But gold is a hedge against a kind of emotional fright, and we're seeing that now. So I've always recommended that everybody have maybe 5 to 10% of your portfolio. It doesn't have to be gold coins. It could be gold stocks, gold mutual funds. Those are all up.
My own personal VIX is the Dow, though, and it's interesting that despite all of the turmoil and ill ease in this country and the world right now, the markets in the U.S. are still holding their own.
This is such an interesting balance, John. And it's worth pointing out. That's a great insight. It was what I was trying to say at the beginning. This tariff stuff and all the stuff that's got people upset, including the people who are upset are very upset about Elon Musk walking around getting into the internal workings of our system, about some of the people that have been nominated for cabinet posts. All of those things are creating emotional unease for maybe half the population, but they haven't been negative for the for business, for jobs, for the economy yet. The president has stayed away from the Fed and said, I'm going to leave them alone. So while all of it, and the president, it appears we're going to have a continuation of the tax cuts or maybe more.
Yeah.
So it's not bad news for business. But if this is like playing with fire, if some of these little sparks ignite, retaliatory tariffs, Canada putting export controls on its petroleum, which even though we're independent, we need their oil because it's the kind our refineries need. So we import a lot. If we start playing around with these things, whether it's auto parts going across borders or agricultural exports, if we really mess things up, you'll see it real quickly in the financial markets. But right now, it's all been political. It's all been emotional. It's all been constitutional.
Yeah. By the way, we got to go, but about those tax cuts that are in place and would they go up higher? George Will, who you see and read sometimes at News Nation, says that would be more than irresponsible. We should not do that. But that's a question and conversation for another day.
Another day, John. Thanks.
I'm sorry you're not in the studio, but we're always glad you can join us. Thanks for giving us a half hour of your time.
Thanks. Next week.
For whatever comes your way, there's WeatherTech.
There is a commercial that you're going to see on the Super Bowl. You may be able to see it online right now anyway, but it's for WeatherTech, and it is wild. You recognize the song in the background. And if you've seen the movie Thelma and Louise, you might imagine two more ladies in the car, maybe all a little older, and they are having a time. And at the end of the commercial, the coffee spills, but don't worry. That's a WeatherTech liner on the floor there, so all is good. Michael Magnuson is the founder and CEO at Pinnacle Advertising, based in Chicago. And this is their ad. Mike, you're on WGN Radio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.
What else did I miss in my description of that commercial?
Well, you know, it's a very different direction that we took this year, but you know, you nailed it. It's four women that are up there in age that have been friends their whole lives, and they're just out having the time of their life. And it's kind of a very active type of entertaining commercial that we decided to go with this year versus what we've done in the past. And it's a lot of fun, and I think it'll be very entertaining for viewers on the Super Bowl.
Is the 60-second version going to run on TV?
So there is a possibility that the 60 would run, but we are thinking that the 30-second version will be running. So it's a cutdown of what's posted online right now.
Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that? I know what it's like to do a 60 or a 30. I can do a really good 70, to be honest with you.
and
you must feel the same way.
Oh, totally. You know, as we were editing, we were like, okay, how do we cut this out or how do we cut that out? Because there was so much great footage that was shot. Yeah. And, you know, we had to fit it within 60 seconds. And we were wishing we could buy a 65 or a 70.
And what's the conceit? So what's the message in the commercial?
So it's really about you can live your best life because you're protected. Your vehicle's protected by WeatherTech. So it's be carefree, do what you want to do, go out and enjoy yourself. And because, you know, the interior of your car is protected. You're not going to ruin anything. So that's really the idea. And the objective was to resonate with consumers in a different way than we have in the past. And I think this is multi-generational. I mean, it's going to connect with older people. It's going to connect with, you know, the 35, you know, 54, and it's going to connect with younger people. So I think it spans the generation.
Oh, sure.
And I think it's going to connect in a different way.
Oh, I get that. I mean, I totally see that. I mean, everybody watching that goes, hey, what are grandma doing? And they're zipping this car around, skidding left and right in between other vehicles. They're laughing, they're drinking coffee, they're just having the time of their lives. And here's my question for you, that while we are enjoying this joy ride, we don't know what the payoff is until more or less the very end. WeatherTech's logo doesn't appear until the last 10 seconds, right?
That is right. Yeah.
And is that a risk from a marketing standpoint?
So, you know, we looked at how do we introduce the product earlier in the spot? And what we felt like is that the storyline is we need to seed the storyline. We have to grab the viewer's interest and get them to want to know what's coming next. What's the next thing that they're going to do? And we felt like the payoff with the tea, you know, hitting the floor and with the cookie hitting the floor, that was the culmination of all these activities and driving the message home.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's really a risk in it, because we feel like we're going to grab attention from the get-go, and we're going to hold it all the way to the end.
Right,
and I think the spot accomplishes that.
So if I'm in for the ride, I'm going to see where this thing ends, and Lord knows it is a ride. I wonder what the storyboard presentation was like, if you all still do storyboards, but presumably you had to pitch this to WeatherTech, and you had to sell them on being patient, if you will, or just buying into the whole spot. What was that like? Did they green light it the minute you pitched it?
You know, they did. So we presented this spot quite some time ago, and the owner and founder of WeatherTech, David McNeil, he's very involved with the marketing. He's a very good marketing guy himself. He gets it. So when we pitched the whole idea to him, he immediately said, "I love this, and let's make this our Super Bowl spot." So, you know, he greenlighted it from day one, and he was actually the person that came up with the idea of putting Born to Be Wild in there, because he looked at the spot. We were going to do original music for this spot, and he's like, you know, these are kind of grannies gone wild type of a thing, and let's put music to it that is just iconic. And so he came up with that idea. And that's how it all, you know, we worked very closely together to pull this all together.
We're talking with Mike Magnuson. He's the founder and CEO at Pinnacle Advertising. They have the deal on the WeatherTech ads that have appeared in the Super Bowl in the past. It's one of those, it's become now kind of a mainstay. And their ad this year is Granny's Gone Wild, kind of zipping around in this car, having a great time. And at the end, we see them make a spill in the front seat, I think it is. But don't worry, the cookie and the tea are falling on a WeatherTech mat. So you're protected, live your best life. Did you have to pay for the rights to the song? This ad looks very expensive to me.
So it is. It was a very healthy production budget, you know, not for the faint of heart. But yeah, we had to license the music, so there's a cost to do that. We hired, Joseph Kahn, which is the most iconic music video directors in the world. And he directed the spot. So when we partnered with him on this, what we wanted to do is we really didn't want to make it a commercial. We wanted to make it a music video. And he was the driving force behind
that's it.
A lot of it.
It plays. So, it looks like a music video. It looks like a music video, which is a compliment to what you all set out to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So the ladies are, I was wondering if I was going to see somebody I know in there, you know, is that Jane Fonda? Is that, one of the well-known older women in film or TV? Did you approach anybody like that? Or maybe that wasn't necessary.
You know what? We wanted these to be everyday, individuals. So we didn't want to make it about a celebrity. We wanted to make it just about your normal person. So we went out and we casted, you know, people who are in the industry, certainly, but they're not known.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will be known now. But our goal was not to try to get a celebrity.
Now, well done. Do you have another client whose spot is in the Super Bowl?
You know, we don't. WeatherTech has been, a mainstay, so to speak, for the last 12 years or so on the Super Bowl. But we hope to get a couple more clients on there. There's some of our clients that are interested, but aren't really willing to take the plunge yet. So,
oh yeah, right. Because besides the cost of producing the ad, then you got $8 million this year, something like that, to run the ad.
Well, right now they're reporting that it's $8 million plus to get on, because there's a waiting list of first time ever that we're aware of, and that's what Fox is telling us, is that this is unlike any other year previous, where there's a waiting list for to get on the Super Bowl, and they're getting over $8 million. But I would say the average reported price, if you committed earlier, was in the $7 million range.
Where's your ad going to run, do you know? You want first and break, don't you?
Coming out of the game into the first break in a commercial pod would be ideal. So I don't know exactly what spot number we are in the pod that we're in, or the commercial break that we're in, but we will be in the second quarter. And I'm hazarding the guess it's going to be around mid-second quarter.
Yeah. Well, I guess you'll be cheering it on. I can see at your party, everybody's really interested in the commercials, and maybe less so. In the elevator that I take to work, they have a little survey and they ask people, what are you rooting for? And it was the Eagles, the Chiefs, or the Snacks. Eagles was number one, Snacks number two, Chiefs number three. But I know what you're rooting for. Nice work, Mike. Our best to everybody over at Pinnacle.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Mike Magnuson and team over at Pinnacle did the WeatherTech ad. You'll see it in the second quarter. WeatherTech, of course, right off of I-55 in the Bolingbrook Plainfield area. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, and here's more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The Mariano's store in Northfield is closing. A spokesperson for the parent company, Kroger, tells Cranes the store at 1822 Willow Road is closing later this year because its lease is expiring. It's unclear whether other Mariano's stores might be closing. Kroger operates 44 Mariano's in the Chicago area. The news comes in the wake of Kroger's failed merger with Albertsons, the parent company of Jewel Osco. Agricultural producer Archer Daniels Midland is preparing to lay off as many as 700 employees. The Chicago-based company is looking to cut costs after disappointing earnings in 2024. The layoffs will be worldwide, including suburban locations and downstate Decatur. The company is primarily a food processor, making products that go into food for humans and animals. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Okay, thank you for that. Business of Food Now, Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you, and let's begin with this.
You are a very difficult woman.
What?
Perhaps so, Your Majesty.
That, of course, is from the King and I.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And what et cetera has to do with the business of food, after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today, there's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how, et cetera, at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. There's a new restaurant in the South Loop, and its name is...
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, actually, it's abbreviated ETC, which stands for what?
Experience, taste, and cocktail.
That's Lamar Moore, chef and owner of Etc. And being an owner is new to him, but feeding people is not. He used to feed 65,000 people at Bears games.
Not only just during the season, but during the off season, there were a lot of events, concerts, parties.
And more recently, Lamar was the chef at the very popular Bronzeville Winery. At Etc., he says he's tapping into the food he grew up on from his Mississippi-born grandmother with a different take on Southern food than the stereotypical fried catfish and fried hush puppies.
Yeah, I think that's a great misconception about Southern food. I think there's more to, you know, Southern food than just, you know, the norm of what we see day to day.
And he wants to serve food that gives diners a warm hug.
I do want to make food that gives you a warm hug. I think that it's important that food is like the mecca of what we do. And most of the time, if there's something bad happens, something good happens, people are surrounded by food and beverage. And my goal every day is to give a warm hug to each guest.
He says the space at Etc. is designed to give it a homey feel.
So the view in the kitchen is, again, an open kitchen. So you get a bird's eye view of, you know, what we do on a day-to-day basis, and it making you feel like you're actually sitting in my home.
The C in ETC stands for cocktails, and a locally grown corn is one of the stars.
One of my favorite drinks for me is called a cornucopia. We've been able to execute something so delicious that, you know, it's one of our top sellers.
Etc., a new black-owned restaurant in the South Loop near Printer's Row and Willis Tower. On the food calendar, it's National Great American Pies Month, and it's National Hot Breakfast Month. It's also National Fasting Month, if you're into that. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
It's not exactly outdoor market season, isn't it? But don't you love those things? But there is an indoor one. Tina Feldstein is the owner of the South Loop Farmers Market. Tina, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
This is what, the second year for this?
Yes, it's our second winter indoor season at the Roosevelt Collection Shops, and it's as big as ever. You were talking about all that advertising interest in the Super Bowl. Well, we have just as much interest in our farmers market in the winter indoor season. People can't wait to do something exciting like this. So we have tons of vendors, and we have lots of shoppers, and it's just such a fun thing to do on a Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. at the Roosevelt Collection Shops in the South Loop.
And this has been going on for a while. That is, it's you started in January, and you go through like the end of March, right?
Correct, yes. We started on Saturday, January 11th, and our last market, we go 12 straight weeks. Our last winter indoor market at the Roosevelt Collection will be on Saturday, March 29th. And it just seems like it's going by so fast because we're having so much fun. There's amazing food, you know, kids' activities. We even have pet photography, get your dog photographed, so cool. There's like 75 amazing vendors, which includes farm fresh produce, but amazing food businesses and baked goods and tons of ready to eat. So you can come hungry and have brunch with us while you buy your favorites. There's just so many great products and services all brought to you by these awesome small businesses.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. These are local vendors. I guess they're not local farmers. You must be importing the, say, fresh vegetables and fruit, but it's local vendors mostly, huh?
Yes, well, even our farms are within less than a 200-mile radius, but all of our other vendors are very, very, very hyper-local, Chicago-based small businesses, and they're bringing to you things like candles and olive oils, all kinds of, like I said, ready-to-eat, you know, tamales, some of the best tamales in Chicago. you can find at our market. We have tacos. We have pizza. I mean, these are all, handmade and brought to our customers. And it's a chance for the customers to meet the actual vendors, to meet them face-to-face and develop relationships. And it's a big hit. We couldn't be...
Describe for us the venue itself. What is it like? What does it look like when I'm walking through there at the South Loop Farmers Market?
For sure. Yeah. So the Roosevelt Collection Shops is at 150 West Roosevelt Road. And what's great about it is it's a small shopping center, and you come in. And first we offer, just as a highlight, 2-hour free validated parking for our customers. So they can come into the garage and they come up and they come into the 150 West space. And essentially it was previously a big, a home goods store. And so it's about 8,700 square feet. And what you find is table after table after table, all created in this wonderful curated maze of different kinds of vendors. You'll find live DJ music. So the vibe is incredible at the market. You come in and you can just feel the energy. Everyone is excited. It's fun. You can go and you can taste all the way through. You can indulge your way through all of these vendors and just have a fantastic time and know that the whole time you're also supporting these very worthy small businesses.
Okay, 150 West Roosevelt Road next to Ulta, 150 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. And it's 9 to 1 on Saturday and all Saturdays in the West Loop through March 30th. That includes
South Loop.
Did I said West Loop? South Loop.
Yes.
This is 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday. We will see you there. Well done, Tina.
All right. Thank you. We look forward to seeing you.
That's Tina Feldstein, and she's the owner of the South Loop Farmers Market. You can see more at RooseveltCollectionShops.com.